Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yes. The sounds that bring in Ray Fittipaldi. Everybody loves Raymond. You can read Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. Steeler rookie camp starts today. Ray, I imagine you're over there today. You excited?
I am back on the south side for a practice, Joe. It seems like September over here.
What's the biggest story brewing over there? I'll ask you about the events of the week coming up here, but what are you looking at today? Who are you going to talk to? What's the storyline?
Well, they are going to make Derek Harmon available for the first time. I think you'll remember when he came in after he was drafted. That was right after his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. So he will actually talk to the local media here for the first time. And I'm actually going to talk to Will Howard. I'm doing a story on Will Howard for Sunday. So something to look forward to for your listeners and the Post-Gazette readers out there.
Did you hear the goings-on this week when Bob Pompeiani opined that he thinks Will Howard is better than Drew Aller, and this was Limit's response to Bob?
That is an absolutely ridiculous take.
I love it. Hey, listen, Aller has all the potential in the world, but when you watch those two play against each other, and I know Will Howard didn't have a great game against Penn State, but if you watch Will Howard in the college football playoff, he certainly put together a great run there and was better than Aller was. But if you look at the measurable, so to speak, and everything the NFL looks for in a quarterback, Aller has all that. He's just got to find a way to become more consistent and be more productive for Penn State.
All right, Ray, when we look back 1 year from now and 5 years from now, will we be saying the Steelers did the right thing by getting rid of George Pickens, or are they going to regret this?
No, I think, listen, Joe, if George Pickens goes out and has four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons for the Dallas Cowboys, it could still be the right decision for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get rid of him. And I think that's where this franchise was. They didn't want him on the team any longer. He didn't want to be here any longer. So when you factor in all those things, I think it was the right call. You get a third-round pick for him. They had plenty of time to shop him out there, plenty of time to field offers. So you pretty much knew this was the max that they were going to get. I suppose you could have seen if a team was desperate in training camp, injuries, during the season, something like that. But if you're going to deal him during the offseason, I think – a third-round pick was probably about as good as you can do.
What's next in the receiver room, Ray?
Well, I think everyone probably agrees that they do have to add someone, but I don't think they're going to be in a hurry to do that until they get an answer from Aaron Rodgers. Because if Aaron Rodgers comes, he's the last couple of years when he was with the Jets, he wanted to kind of handpick his guys that he was going to work with. And I think the Steelers would probably – do that for him as well with the Steelers. So, Alan Lazard is still out there. He is still employed by the Jets, but you could probably get him in a trade if you wanted to. But above and beyond that, you're looking at guys like Keenan Allen, who's still a free agent. Gabe Davis was cut. He had some great years with the Bills, kind of like their big play receiver. So he would be out there. But, there's not a lot of big names out there. So I think they're probably going to have to make do with what they have on the roster and try to supplement it with one of those guys I just mentioned.
I have some Alan Lazard news.
Ooh.
He tweeted a couple days ago the GIF from the Wolf of Wall Street saying, "I'm not leaving." So I wonder if that means that he's staying with the Jets.
By the way, Ray, the Wolf of Wall Street, an all-time movie, I think underrated. Would you agree?
Yeah, the Wolf of Wall Street, I don't know what channel it is, but it's between The Wolf of Wall Street and The Departed for the movie that I just turn on the TV and one of those movies is on like 10 o'clock at night every night,
I'd watch it every single night. Alan Lazard, so apparently not coming this way. Limits with the timely news there. You mentioned Gabe Davis. I'm not real high on him, Ray. I saw him play in Buffalo. He was a Josh Allen creation more than anything. I guess that leads us to the running game and the running backs. How's that division of labor going to break down? Is Caleb going to come right in and grab the top spot? Does he have that opportunity?
I don't know about that, but he certainly is one of those guys, like in high school or college, when he gets off the bus, he looks like an NFL player. I mean, I looked at him, I said, who's this number 20? And, okay, it's Caleb Johnson. That makes sense. He's a high pick. So he's a bigger guy. He's put together. But, you know, I think when you try to project to what's going to happen in September, I would imagine Jaylen Warren is going to start. But I do think eventually, Joe, I think the distributions and touches and carries is probably going to be similar to what we saw the last couple of seasons. Really, for the entire, you know, first 3 years of Jaylen Warren, it was pretty much an equal split in carries with Najee Harris. They like going through a rotation. I think everything points to them sticking with a rotation with Caleb Johnson here.
Limits, I wouldn't think of excluding you from this conversation. Do you have a question for Ray?
Yes, I do, and I appreciate you letting me ask. Ray, the secondary, I'm curious about your thoughts on the fact that they really didn't add anybody in the draft there. Do you think that it's strong enough, and is there anybody at rookie minicamp that might pop off the page like Beanie Bishop did as an undrafted rookie last year?
Well, they do have the seventh-round pick, Dante Kent. He's from Harrisburg, so he could be in the mix in training camp. They have this Sebastian Castro from Iowa that you know, some people are talking about. He's 5'11", 203. You know, so we might get a chance to see what he's all about. He's an undrafted free agent, so everything points to him being here for OTAs and minicamp and training camp as well. So, you know, of those two guys, I would say Castro or Kent probably has a chance to be in the mix. Obviously, Feeney's back. They went out and got Brandon Echols too. So they're set with numbers there. But, I think a guy like Castro could maybe make a push for a roster spot, you know, come July and August.
Sounds like you're wandering through a wind tunnel, Ray. Is that the case?
Yeah, I am outside, Joe. I apologize, but it's a hike back to the media room here, so I couldn't make it work.
Completely understood. Which rookie do you think is going to have the biggest impact this season, Ray?
I think probably Caleb Johnson. If you look at the defensive line, I think Harmon's going to play a lot too. But just in terms of having his hands on the football, you know, being involved, I think you're obviously going to hear Johnson's name more. You know, he was really productive at Iowa, Joe. You know, he was their main guy for three seasons, and, you know, I think he's going to have a chance to step in and be an immediate contributor here too. So Harmon's obviously going to get a lot of playing time. A lot of focus is going to be on him. But if there's one guy, I would probably say Caleb Johnson.
Limits has a Penn State hat on, which I find mildly annoying. And
why?
It is a big Drew Aller fan.
Why do you find it mildly annoying?
I'll tell you later. Mm. No, for obvious reasons. I'm not a huge Penn State fan, and you are.
Didn't your
stepson yes,
go to Penn State? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ray, Drew Aller is a topic of great debate right now. He could be the top pick next year, certainly one of the top picks for quarterbacks. Yeah. You're a college football aficionado. What do you think of this guy? If I told you right now he's going to be the Steelers' next quarterback, would you think that was a good thing?
As good timing as the train goes by here on the south side, so I apologize for that. Listen, when I watch Drew Aller, I am always impressed with his size. You know, I know he didn't have a lot of good receivers at Penn State, but, you know, he can get that offense humming. But there's also times when I'm a little bit underwhelmed by his performance. I think his final performance of the season kind of rang true. Sometimes just he leaves you wanting a little bit. But you know, he's got a ton of potential. Like if this was 20 years ago, and like the running game wasn't as big of a factor with quarterbacks, undoubtedly Drew Aller would be the top prospect. He's just your prototypical pocket quarterback from a generation ago. So I still think that's, you know, that's still coveted in the NFL. That hasn't totally gone away. But, yeah, I think he's going to be in the mix. He's going to be one of the top, I would say, 5 to 7 quarterbacks in next year's draft. And I think, you know, that you know, where he fits in the top seven obviously is going to depend on how he does for Penn State.
Is that the Limitless Express in the background there, Limits?
It must be. Going by, we might have to rip that audio. Choo-choo! Ray, what do you make of the offensive line construction? It's obviously going to be Broderick Jones on the left side. Troy Faltani returns and is going to play on the right side. Is this a good enough offensive line that could protect, let's say, Aaron Rodgers once he eventually signs?
Oh, it better be. They didn't do anything in the draft. I think on the inside, Austin, Zach Frazier is going to be your center for the next, 7 to 10 years. He's that good. And I think they're solid at guards. You know, Sayamalu and McCormick, I think those guys are pros, and I think that's a solid interior. But, you have a left tackle in Broderick Jones who hasn't played on that side for a couple of years. He struggled on the right side last year. Something seemed off in his pass pro last year, and that's a huge concern if you're going to have a 41-year-old quarterback, out there and potentially taking hits. So that's my one concern about this. I want to see how Broderick Jones transitions to the left side. Listen, if he does it well and he plays the way he did at Georgia over there, then it won't be as big of a concern. But I think that's the obvious question mark heading into training camp.
Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG. Your home team fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, Ray, we're winding down here. Aaron Rodgers, are you operating as if it's a foregone conclusion he'll be here?
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, Joe, but I think it's probably, I think it has a really good chance of happening. I can't sit here and tell you a date, but, I think they're still willing to be patient on that. We're still 3 weeks away from OTA, so there's time for them. But, yes, I do expect Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback for 2025 season.
Do you buy Mike Florio's theory from Pro Football Talk? He told the PM guys here that he wonders if the Steelers are waiting till the schedule is confirmed and even released, which I think is May 14th, that they want to avoid the kind of schedule the Jets had last year and the kind that they had last year with tons of night games and things like that. And they may feel there's a better chance to avoid it if the league doesn't think they have Aaron Rodgers or isn't certain about that. Like, why would they want to put Mason Rudolph in a bunch of primetime games? And that they might be waiting until that schedule released. Do you buy that?
Well, that's a good theory, Joe, but I don't care who the quarterback of the Steelers is. I can't remember a last time that they didn't have 4 or 5 primetime games. I mean, it's just every single season. I mean, it happened last year when they had Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. It happened when, it was Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky, and no one knew who the quarterback would be. You can go back and look at that schedule from a couple of years ago, too. So, I mean, maybe 1 or 2 primetime games. A team want Mason Rudolph. The Steelers are a national brand, and these networks are going to want them no matter what.
All right, Ray, last question. It's a new year. This is sort of the beginning of a new year, rookie camp. Any of the old media guys out, and is there any new media people in there? What does the media contingent look like? Is Kabali there again?
Kabali just walked by a few minutes ago and tried to say hi to you, but you were in the midst of one of your questions. So, Mark is here. I saw Dale Lawley, Vacco, your partner on Tuesday this year. So,
are you okay, Ray?
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 Can you still hear me?
Yeah, it sounded like you got swallowed up by some sort of windstorm. My God.
It's windy. It's like we're talking in Chicago here. But, the usual fellas are here and patiently awaiting the end of practice.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
I was fearful for Ray for a moment there. Weren't you?
He seemed like he got sucked up by the wind.
Almost did.
Gone with the Wind, Ray Fittipaldo's story.
Can you name the two lead actors, actor, actress, in Gone with the Wind?
No.
You
no,
should
I
be
can't.
Able to. I don't think I can.
But
either.
At least I didn't say yes and then tried to take a guess.
Another step in your evolution.
In my
recovery from early onset Malzahn disease.
Malzahn disease, yeah.
I am so...
Malnesia.
Yeah, Malnesia. I'm so glad that you just said that. A simple I don't know goes a long way, Limits. I don't know either.
But I don't want to sound stupid at the same time either.
Clark Gable and Scarlett somebody?
Johansson.
No, this was made in the 40s.
No, it wasn't Scarlett Johansson then.
Now I need to know, Limits. Can you please look up Gone with the Wind? Is it Clark Gable? Is it Monica Lewinsky?
It is not Monica Lewinsky. She's definitely was not in Gone with the Wind.
No, don't tell me. It's Clark Gable, right? Clark Gable?
Clark Gable
Scarlett
is
O'Hara.
The character is
the other one who played All About Eve. Not Bridget Bardot. The other one, Betty Gable. Who's in it?
Scarlett O'Hara, Vivian.
I knew it.
Yeah. Was Vivian Olay.
Leia. Princess Leia.
And Clark Gable, Rhett Butler. Gone with the Wind, 1939.
He went on from there to bat leadoff for the Braves for a number of years.
That was a four-hour movie.
Yes, it was.
Half the audience was probably Gone with the Wind 2 hours in.
It was longer than one of Malsey's takes on the PM show. It was 4 hours.
Wow. I can imagine you just in your car driving around. Get to the point, Malsey. Come on.
They had attention spans back then, Limits.
Twitter. Malsey gives that long of takes.
I know. I'm only kidding. I'm taking what do they call? Yeah, that. A pot shot. I took it, Malsey. Can we hear Bob sing that? I always like to play that in concert with me, and it's better. Yeah, he did it better. I know.
You really do think that he just does this better every time.
I've done everything for Malsey. He's done nothing for me.
What about the combination?
I've done everything for Malsey.
And he's done nothing for me.
Yeah.
You in that is just outrageous.
I've done everything for Malsey.
You sound angry when you sing that.
Well, I'm trying to sing it with passion because Bob outdid me with his passion. I don't know. Did Ray say anything memorable? I'm not knocking him, but did he?
He thinks that Drew Aller is a better long-term quarterback than Will Howard, I took away from that.
He also thinks Caleb Johnson will be the most impactful rookie.
That was the second point I was just about to make. Yeah, Caleb Johnson with Jaylen Warren could be like a close to a 50-50 split midway through the year.
Tell the people what's coming up on the Limitless Express, if you would, Limits.
Choo-choo! Jump on that train that just went by the south side. Mike Florio also said something about a potential wide receiver that the Steelers could go after. Ooh. We didn't get into this yesterday. And what's going on with North Carolina and this Bill Belichick girlfriend thing?
No.
Well, there was news this morning, and now there's an update to
that news. Are they
going to
get married? Are they getting married?
Plus, Cam Hayward has weighed in.
If they did get married, Limits, would they have a cake? Or like Donnie Football, who, by the way, is joining us at the top of the hour, eschew the cake for a cookie tray or a cookie board. What do they call it? The cookie table. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just going cookie table. They're not going with a whole entire cake, which I think will be okay. But I do wonder why they don't want like a little tiny Donnie and a little tiny Sarah on top of the cake, you know? You put like little figurines that are made.
It feels sad, but Donnie said they may have a personalized cake, like a little personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut. Just a tiny little cake.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe we can get it sponsored. This cake is brought to you by so-and-so. The wedding vows are brought to you by...
This cake is brought to you by Radley Haddad, the Pirates' former strategist. Do you think Shelty finds another manager's job? I don't. I think he's a good baseball guy, you know? I just don't think he's a good manager.
No, I don't think he's a manager either. Remember when he was... using the speed hitter with Tampa Bay, those commercials. Did you ever see the speed hitter commercial?
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah. He'll get hired somewhere.
He will.
He's well connected in the game and probably respected still as a hitting coach, despite what happened here. I think a lot of people around baseball would say, I don't think I've changed my opinion on Shelty as a hitting coach. There's nobody in the game's history that could have made Alexander Canario a hitter. You know what I mean?
Clint Hurdle is one name that was thrown out there yesterday by the PM guys. Would you want Hurdle to come back?
Yes.
I think I would, too. I would obviously want to see if there was
other options. Yes, I would. When it comes to replacing Shelty and Ben Cherington, I'll take any living, breathing mammal on Earth at this point.
What about when Tony La Russa came out of retirement to manage the White Sox?
Not good.
Didn't that work out well?
Not good. What about Jim Leland? Can you imagine if he came back?
I doubt it.
What about Barry Bonds? What about Bonds and Leland?
This is truly a fantasy tale that's being brought to life.
I don't know who else is out there.
They could save the Bucko Bricks together.
Yeah. I don't know who else is out there limits. But yeah, Clint Hurdle, why not? Sure. Abso-buckin-lutely. I'd want him back.
I would like a manager that has experience somewhere else, has decent success somewhere.
It doesn't matter who they bring
in. And can mold this young core.
With the molding of the young core. I was hearing people
yesterday.
The hell
do you want him to do then? I mean, they have to mold the young core.
He can't do anything. They might as well have Riley Haddad as the manager. Have a computer manage the team.
His name is Radley.
Radley.
I keep calling him Riley too, though. It's
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
Sorry, Radley.
It doesn't matter. I heard people talking yesterday, bunches of interviews. Well, this guy's going to come in and really establish a culture. There's going to be a culture of accountability. He was never a star, so he knows what the 25th guy on the bench is and his role, and that guy will be able to relate to him. Great. So Alexander Canario is going to respond to Don Kelly. Give me players. Give me no manager, and give me a bunch of jerks and jackasses on my roster and have them not show up or show up whenever they want. If they can hit and pitch and field and they're really good and they all hate each other's guts, guess what? I have a good baseball team.
I feel like Hurdle built a pretty good culture here that was established. And yeah, it fell apart in 2012. But
I don't
13,
care about
14,
the
15.
Culture. The culture he
it's
built.
It's not the main piece.
He had A.J. Burnett and Francisco Liriano make the All-Star team. He had Russell Wilson.
Broncos country, let's ride.
He had Russell Wilson. He had MVP player in McCutcheon. He had a first baseman or a third baseman then. Lead the league in homers. He had Neil
Steelers
Walker.
Nation. Let's ride.
Please
ride with me, baby.
Enough with the culture limits. And then he had a back end of the bullpen that really, when you get right down to it, was the backbone of that team.
Oh, the culture is not the only thing, my friend. It is a sub point like 5, 6, 7 rungs down the totem pole. What's more important?
Oh, I thought you were going to play a clip that went with that.
No. What's more important is guys that can actually, with runners in scoring position, hit the damn ball and drive in runners.
Yeah. And like I said, the 2013 team, for example, if they were leading after six, the game was over.
Melanson, Watson, Grilly, where's your core?
Right. That's a big deal.
Even Dennis then, Santana, you know, David Bednar, Colin Holderman is what you have right now.
We talk about how, you know, bullpens are more important than ever now and how starters work fewer innings. And that was the case then, too, basically. It was somehow get to the seventh inning. And then for the last three innings of a game, which last I checked is a third of a baseball game, It was lockdown time. So did that have anything to do with the culture of the team?
No,
I don't even know what that means.
And then those final three innings, they lost so many games where they either had the lead or it was a tie game, and decisions on whether to take a guy out, keep a guy in, who was going in, they lost so many games doing that.
Everything for Mosey. What a wonderful intro you've put together there. It's time for the Limitless Express. All aboard, Limits.
Let's jump on, Joe, for this Friday, May 9th. Mike Florio, he was mentioned earlier on the show. He probably should have been mentioned a little bit earlier for this scorching hot take. Florio with the PM guys 2 days ago. The 49ers would love to unload.
No. Don't say it.
Ayuk's contract on the Steelers.
I hear
Brandon Ayuk.
I hear it's at the goal line.
Ayuk.
No.
No?
Yeah, that's just.
No, Ayuk?
One word I'd like to say there is no. Surely you don't say yes, do you? Please, Limits.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
He's coming off a major injury, and he's highly overpriced. And they won't even be able to use him. The Arthur Smith offense can't take advantage of one receiving weapon, let alone two.
The Ayuks of our lives, you have no interest in it?
Zero. You?
I have about a 10% interest level in him because I also think that the money coming off the injury is not something that is really appealing. He's also somebody that didn't choose you at first. It's like when you're talking to somebody and they ultimately decide to date somebody else, but then they break up with their old boyfriend and say, hey, remember me? Like, I'd love to try to talk to you now. I'm sorry that things didn't work out the first time, but this time I think it can be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Brandon, I just stay over there in San Francisco, please.
It's not going to be better. That's a horrible idea. Next.
A report from Ross Dellinger. A 16-team college football playoff bracket is gaining support in the Big Ten and the SEC, which would be four SEC teams, four Big Ten teams, two ACC, two Big 12, one group of six team, which is like the American and some of those other conferences, and then three at-large bids. So basically Notre Dame and then two others. And the Big Ten and SEC could have play-in games for the third versus the sixth team and the fourth versus the fifth seed. This is turning into like the NBA play-in with a little combination of a playoff that is just, I think, gotten out of hand. It used to be the two-team BCS. Then it was a 14 playoff. Now it's 12. Now 16? Like, isn't this starting to become like the NFL where, oh, now you're letting seven teams in? There's a 9-7 team that makes it. An 8-8 team used to make it.
Do you
now
have
you're
a question here, Limits, for me?
Yes.
What's the question?
As I guess, pulled a Malzy and went too long trying to make my point. Malzy disease is back. Do you think that they need expansion again?
Yeah, because the first round was so exciting last year. Remember that? They need less teams, not more.
I would have been okay with 8 right off the jump. They ended up going to 12. And once you get to that high of a number, you're never going back. It's not like they're going to ever decrease the amount of playoff spots. At some point, this is just going to turn into like an NCAA tournament field. And instead of 68 teams, they'll make it 32. And we'll be playing until like legitimately January. The college, what about this theory? Or what about this idea? The college football national championship is Saturday. The Super Bowl is Sunday. Ultimate football weekend. How would you feel about that?
I'm thinking about that. I'd feel great about that.
We're trending in a direction like that. Where
why wouldn't we want that?
The season just continues. If you add another round of the playoff, if you add 16, there's going to be another round, and they're probably not going to make it earlier in the year. They give teams such a break for those other bowl games.
I don't think there's such a thing as too much football.
I don't either.
Especially at that level. I'm all for it.
Especially with the money that's being shelled out there. Here's the thing. Would the ability of a potential oversight committee, and Nick Saban is stepping into some role to kind of look over a lot of these things that's going on with NIL and everything. I wonder if this would pass, like if college football would be able to do this.
I don't care.
If the players would allow it or if it would even be a thing.
Yeah, I don't care. The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
What are you laughing about?
The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. The Pirates and The Fan want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com. To register your 12 and under team, and The Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Next.
Our friend Sean chimes in and says that they only want this because Bama and two other SEC schools like Ole Miss, your friend Jackson Dart, were held out, which I think is an interesting point. Probably true.
It's probably true.
A couple hours ago, breaking news from Pablo Torre's podcast. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, the 24-year-old girlfriend of Bill Belichick, same age as me, banned from the UNC football facility. A Belichick family source said there is deep worry for how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but Bill's legacy, reputation, and everything he has built and worked for over decades.
Wait a second. I wasn't paying attention, which isn't a big surprise. She was banned from the facility?
She was banned from the facility, according to this
by
report
who?
From Pablo Torre, by the administration at North Carolina.
Then you're going to have that is that for all the things that might really make people angry or disgusted about that story, it's a gigantic story and a fascinating one. And how does Belichick react to that?
Well,
he may never coach a game there.
Well, update that just came out in the last hour after that came out this morning. North Carolina has denied the report that Bill Belichick's girlfriend has been banned. North Carolina saying, while Jordan Hudson is not an employee at the university or Carolina Athletics, she is welcome to the Carolina football facilities.
I heard somebody on one of our shows the other day, a guest, saying this isn't about North Carolina, or maybe it was a national person we had on the air doing their own show on the weekend. This isn't about North Carolina. It's just about Belichick. It only makes him look bad. No, it makes North Carolina look ridiculous. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And that story at some point is going to blow up.
I do find it fascinating that someone named Jordan is creating this much of a fuss for the football program at North Carolina.
I didn't think of that. I like that.
Someone else named Jordan made the North Carolina basketball program what it was as the greatest player in the history of all of basketball. And Dean Smith, of course.
What a wonderful thought by you. And very deep, I might add.
Thank you. Cam Hayward chimed in on Twitter. I don't know if I'm able to say this or not, so I'll just try to put a little PG version.
Yeah.
But Cam Hayward was basically saying, this is short for Bill Belichick trying to stand up for his girlfriend and not create a breakup. Like, he still wants to stay with his girlfriend.
Cam weighed in.
You can go in there and read what Cam said on Twitter just about 40 minutes ago, which our friend Matt Zegarelli, who listens to the morning show, said, Captain Cam off the top ropes. Whammy.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Belichick had to choose between her and the North Carolina football program, which do you think he chooses?
Man, that's a great question.
You don't have to think that long about it.
I think he's probably going to choose her.
Obviously.
He's going to choose her. Like, just think about it.
Next.
Her publicist that was in on the interview room with CBS. Paul Pierce, after the Celtics lost to the Knicks in game one of the series, said if the Knicks win, I think it was either if the Knicks win another game or I think it was the, here it is. If the Celtics lost game two to the Knicks, Paul Pierce, who works at FS1, would walk to the Fox studio from his house in Century City. Paul Pierce, after the Knicks beat the Celtics again, tweeted out a picture walking a 7-hour journey. And
wow.
He documented it on Instagram Live. Paul Pierce actually yesterday walked 7 hours to work.
That is incredible.
He actually
did it.
And that,
of course, evokes the story of Jim Rooker, I believe it was, on a Pirate broadcast. I think the Pirates were way ahead of the Phillies, maybe. He said, if the Phillies come back and win, I'll walk all the way back to Pittsburgh. I think that's the story, but he wound up making it a walk for charity. That is awesome that Pierce did that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I find it kind of interesting, but I mean, like, obviously the situation with Rooker was a lot different. You're walking all the way across the state.
Yeah.
Pierce, it's probably, in LA traffic, it's probably a 40-minute drive, when in reality, if it was Pittsburgh traffic, it would probably be like a 15-minute drive.
Right.
But good on Paul Pierce for following through. There's a lot of times where people will throw out this outlandish claim and then not follow through with it. So I give him credit.
Thank you, Limits. The Limitless Express had never been better, I don't think.
Could I give you one more short one?
No.
In college football, guess who the number one ranked team is in the country?
Penn State.
According to ESPN.
Penn State number one in the country. You just needed to sneak that in there just to get Penn State in there,
fair,
didn't you?
Fair or foul?
You say in your Penn State hat fair on your head today.
It's a college football topic.
No, you wouldn't have done it. All right, now let's go back.
I
want to be gentle here because this, again, perhaps is a sign of, what is it, malzia?
Early onset malzia.
Yeah, malzia. If this were Notre Dame, let's say, that had been named number one for next year, would you have put that in today's Limitless Express? Think about it before you say you're... Okay.
It's a local story.
Period.
If Pitt was or if West Virginia was, I would.
Period.
But if Pitt was or West Virginia was, I would. It's a local story. One of the big three teams that people follow in this area. If it was West Virginia, I would have done the exact same thing and asked fair or foul. Or Pitt, fair or foul. We're the Pitt flagship. I would have asked it. You don't believe me. But I don't care because that's what I would have done.
Like the way you finish that. You're getting better every day here.
Hey, that's
Limits.
The goal. You got to continue to improve.
All right.
Keep taking steps up.
Very good.